Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
And we got a second stool available. Hey, Mike, it's Mike from BR Guest Podcast. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing great. How's it going, guys?
We're doing real well. We're happy to finally have you on. We've been playing Tag, You're It, and never can get you, and we're happy you're finally on.
Hey, I've been waiting for a long time to get on here, so I'm excited to join you.
So, we're glad. Dan, you ready to roll?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to talk to Mike again. I've done his show a couple times over the years and been a longstanding member of the BR Guest Podcast family, so it's nice to have him on our show.
Yeah, Mike's a good guy. We've been doing his show for a long time. We were happy to help you out this year. It was fun doing the live show with you, so now we get you on our show.
I know, it's a shame that it took so long. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I mean, you know, with these podcasts, it's hard to find free time during the week.
Nobody realizes, and you don't want to cry because this is what we want to do, so we want to do it. But you don't realize the amount of time that it actually takes up until you really start putting them out every single week.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that's just – it's so much fun. I mean, I look forward to coming down to the studio. I've been looking forward to talking to you guys. Love doing our shows, you know, love doing our live shows. We get to do those once a month. It's just it's a highlight. But, you know, like we were talking before we started recording, you got to get the editing done. You got to get the uploading done, which is, you know, not quite as much fun as talking Disney like we're going to do tonight.
No, but I've said this to Den before. Our wives would go insane if we talked as much Disney to them as if we needed to talk. It's like a sickness. We have to get our opinion out on it every week.
Yeah, no, that's funny like that. And now, I mean, show you how far podcasting has come, and Disney podcasting in particular. I mean, now I almost ask of all my Disney friends in the Disney community, who doesn't have a podcast? It's like if somebody doesn't have a podcast, it's weird. So it's, you know, Mike was one of the pioneers, and I know you've often told your story about how you were on the WDW Today show and how you started out, and it's just amazing how that small network of people has expanded to the great big community we are today.
And the other thing, Mike, I want to thank you for is Magical Mouse Radio.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, Pam Forrester from the Magic for Less Travel gives us the capabilities and the financial support to put that station out there. I just basically program it and try to run it. And, you know, when I'm at school with my kids, I got to have like a background loop, you know, background soundtrack going. And it's so fun today. We got to talk about World of Color was playing in our classroom. So we played a little, you know, what movie is this from? And then we watched a little bit of World of Color on YouTube. And it's so cool because my kids that I teach, because that's my full-time gig. I'm not just a podcaster. I wish I was, but I actually teach school. And, you know, these kids don't have the financial means for the most part to ever get to a Disney park. But the wonder in their eyes when they saw, you know, the water screens and the fire and all that stuff during World of Color and these moments they had seen on TV, it was really special. And I think that kind of stuff is why people seek out podcasts like your guys' podcast, like ours, like Magical Mouse Radio, because we want those connections. We don't get there enough, and it's really cool when you can give that to kids that, you know, don't have the chance to do this.
Well, that's why every chance I get, too, I try to – because you get me through the day a lot of times when I'm humping in sheetrock or carrying in a cabinet or sitting on a roof. I have Magical Mouse Radio playing all the time, and I try to keep retweeting it and putting it out there because – I enjoy the show. Like, if I'm having a bad day and all of a sudden the Haunted Mansion comes on, it kind of puts it back into reality for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can remember, Mike, when, you know, you first started Magical Mouse Radio, I remember it was kind of like a secret at first, and then, you know, you gradually got the information out there. But you know, I just remember, again, seeing that grow. And I remember I used to write on the forums, you know, oh, you know, you got 10,000 listening hours now, whatever it was, and hitting all those milestones. And it's just amazing how both the podcast and the radio station, you know, on Live 365 have just grown and continue to grow.
Yeah, we're very lucky. I mean, you know, the gals that do the show with me, and, you know, we have such great listeners and supporters of what we do. We talk about this a lot offline, that we don't know how we fell into this, but the folks who support our show, listen to our show in the radio station, are just true friends. I mean, they don't just listen. They become friends and support everything we do 100%, not 75%. I mean, it's crazy the support we get, and we're so lucky with that. But, I have to mention that, you know, the stuff I do with Magical Mouse Radio and the podcast, it's, you know, I'm standing on the shoulders of folks who've come before our podcast and the radio station, like Mike Newell with Mouse World Radio, one of the pioneers in the community. And, you know, I'm lucky to call him a friend. And, of course, the guys over at WDW Today, Matt, Mike, Len. You know, the reason I did this was because I had such a good time listening to them, you know, and I felt like I knew them. I didn't know them. You know, I had not met them. But, you know, when they're in your ears for so long, you know the jokes and you feel like, you know, they're buddies forever. So, you know, I hope that's what our show has become to some folks, and I know you guys do the same, and it's just nice to have a friend there in your ear. Like you said, Doug, when you're, you know, doing some job, you know, it's tough, but it's fun to have something there that reminds you of something a little easier than what you're doing at the time.
Yeah, well, it puts it in perspective. This is why I'm working this hard, so I can get back down the room to the Haunted Mansion. You know what I mean? And that's the whole reason for it. We can't forget the Podfather, Lou Mangiello.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Is there a joke there about standing on his shoulders? Maybe he should stand up.
Exactly. We'll put him up on ours.
It's funny, Mike, you were saying, you happened to mention Len Testa's name, and you probably won't remember this, but it was a moment that stuck in my head from one of the BR guest podcast events on the Treehouse meet that you had there at Saratoga Springs. And
the fire marshal almost had to shut you down.
Yeah, that was crazy. That place was packed. We had a blast that day, but I mean, Mike was wigging out because, you know, I got there a little early and he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I don't know what he was doing, but, you know, I guess just trying to get everything set up. And I remember walking down the sidewalk to the treehouse, and Mike was standing with a gentleman, and you had to go, Mike, and you said, "Oh, Dennis, great. Meet Len Testa," and you took off, and you know, you had to go do something. I forget what it was, you know. And you know, for a Disney person like myself, I mean, Len Testa, I'm talking to Len Testa, you know, and you know, it'd be like equivalent to, you know, somebody meeting Mick Jagger that was a big Stones fan or something, you know. And it just, I don't know, that was just a moment that I remember. I chuckle about that all the time when I think back on that event.
You know, I look back on that, and I have the sign sitting here in the studio from the, you know, the sign we had to kind of mark the specific treehouse where we were all meeting. It was easy to find after a while because, you know, a treehouse with 85 people, like, kind of squeezing out of it. But that day was so surreal, and it's one of those things, like, ignorance is bliss. You know, we got the treehouse, and Pam's like, "We should invite some folks over that listen to the show." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, five people are going to swing by. You know, nobody's going to come to a treehouse." And oh my gosh, that was so, so fun. I don't even think I'd do this if I had the chance now, because that day we were actually live on Magical Mouse Radio, and
I was listening, and I was laughing, and it reminded me of the way you were laughing about the people coming. Was, remember in high school when your parents were away, and you say, "Well, invite these couple people over, we're going to have a party, but don't tell nobody." And then next thing you know, there's kegs coming in the door, and there's 50 people at the house.
Doug, you're absolutely right. I mean, we were, you know, those of us that got there early were, you know, sitting on the, you know, the furniture and stuff that was inside, but literally we had the door, like, wedged open, and there was a line of people. It was like a reception line. Mike, am I kidding?
You're not kidding. I just remember, though, I brought the whole studio down that time with the trailer. Like, I had the rack set up, the mixer, I brought the whole computer out of the studio, the mics. I mean, we have four mics hot. You know, it was such a cool day. It was a great moment for the radio station, for the podcast. But man, I don't know if I'd do that again. I didn't know what I was.
Right. Now that you know, wow, there could be some liability here. yeah, you know, now you know too much. But that was a great day. You're right. And just about everyone and anyone in the Disney community showed up at least to say hi and support the Be Our Guest podcast. So that was an awesome event.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget it. And it warms my heart on this cold night as we're recording.
There you go.
Well, speaking of that, taking the mixers down and everything else, all the driving down now, Mike, that you've done over the years, do you ever get the itch to fly or no?
You know, actually, I was thinking about it for Marathon Weekend coming up in January, because this will be my first time ever attempting to run a full marathon. So I thought, if you're ever going to get on a plane, you're going to be dog tired after running 26 miles. And knowing how I am, it won't just be that. It'll be running around Walt Disney World, you know, in January. Hopefully it'll be, you know, decent weather and we can wear some shorts and have a good time. But I thought, you know, I'll be exhausted. That'd be a good time to fly down. And, you know, flying down from St. Louis, I thought, this is the last time I flew, and this is how I think, which is kind of screwed up. But I got myself to the point. The last time I was on an airplane was when we flew down for our honeymoon in 2006. We took a cruise on Royal Caribbean. And I got myself to the point where, you know, we got inside of 14 hours or 16 hours or whatever it is. And I knew that I would not make that ship unless I got on that airplane. So I had to fly because I wanted to go on the cruise on my honeymoon. You know, I'd paid all that money for it and stuff. So I told myself I would do that, you know, with the January flight for Marathon Weekend. But, you know, I looked at the prices and even with good deals that people were telling me, these are pretty good prices for air. It's still so much more economical for my family of four to drive. And so I'm still going to drive. Why pay a lot of extra money for all the anxiety and angst I'd be feeling for the next 2 months? You know, that's me.
See, my problem with people that fly to is, and I'm like you, Mike, I also enjoy the drive down. I feel like I accomplish something when I get there. Yeah. It's weird, but I do. But the thing that gets me too is when people that fly, they always leave out the amount of time it takes before they get to the plane, to the airport, and after they get to the airport. All they say is, I was in the air 3 hours. They don't talk about if it's a 7 o'clock flight, they have to get up at 4, be at the airport by 4:30, 5 o'clock, check their bags. And then if, God forbid, something gets lost, which I know it's not going to get lost in my car. Am I wrong? And then you get off at the airport, you wait, you board the bus. It's 10 hours. It's not 3 hours. Everybody tells you they get to Florida in 3 hours. It usually ends up being a 9 or 10 hour day.
I hear a couple of guys making a bunch of excuses because they're afraid to fly. That's what I hear.
No. I would fly the plane. I just don't want to be flown.
It's a control thing, right?
That is. I'm with you. It's one of those things, but yeah, there's times when I'm driving through Georgia because we drive overnight. That's our thing, you know, and it's like, oh, man, you know, actually, it's not overnight. It's more like 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning is just when, you know, bring me on that airplane. At that point, I might get on a plane because I'm so tired. I just want to get there. But, you know, I'm with you, Doug. It's nice just kind of seeing the country. And, you know, when you get there, you just take a nap and you go. You're at Disney. You're excited. The drive home, though, ugh.
Yeah, well, that's the worst. To drive home. My wife always goes, now pretend we're driving here. We're not driving home.
That's it.
I want the same attitude home as we had coming down here, honey. But the thing is, you have a captive audience. It's actually time in our busy lives that me and my wife actually get to spend together. It might sound crazy, but it's the most time I'm with her when we drive there.
Yeah, I could say. Well, see, there's four of us. Paige comes sometimes, and sometimes she doesn't now because she's a senior in high school. Like she's not going she is going Marathon Weekend. She's running with me. I'm thinking she didn't go for Tower of Terror. I'm getting confused on my races here. But it's funny because, you know, Mallory will have her little headphones in watching, you know, some Full House DVD set or something in the back seat that I can't, if it played out, I would go insane. I can't listen to Full House for 16 hours. Paige will have
you don't like Uncle Jesse anymore?
I watched him with Paige. I can't go through another child of Full House. Yeah. And all that, you know, especially the little girl. But yeah, you know, my wife and I do, it's great because when do you actually get to sit down and, you know, really just kind of hang out and talk about life? I mean, we're really always going in different directions. So
and that's us here. You feel like you're working. Dennis, when you get on the Tower of Terror, you can talk to me about flying.
All I know is I get up at 5 o'clock here, and I can be in the Magic Kingdom by 11 a.m. So I don't know what this 10 hours is, but
if everything goes right, what happens? You get stuck on the tarmac, flight gets delayed. You don't ever have that on any flight.
No, I've never had.
You're lucky, kid.
Dennis, you should not have said that. You know.
Yeah, no, I just jinxed myself. Mike, even if Jay Griffith picked you up at your local airport, you would not get on that plane.
Are you kidding me? Not a chance. I do. You know, he would put that thing upside down just to screw up.
Yeah,
he'd be doing barrel rolls, you know, down to Orlando or something. No way.
To tell a funny story, one of my best friends who's a builder, Bill Stockel, he owns a Red Baron airplane, one of them, the ones with the dual wings, the biplanes. He's been trying to get me in that biplane for years, and I know he'll do barrel rolls with that. And that's the one where you're out in the open. There's no inside. It's an outside. It's Snoopy and the Red Baron. And I told him, not on my life, there'd have to be a winning lottery ticket that was in that seat to get me in that plane with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, that Jay, you know, Jay, I stood up for him in his wedding. I'll do that any day. I love Jay like brother. And he would mess with me. I know how he is because I'd do the same thing if I was a pilot with him. You know, so that's just how I'm smart.
Well, I know that's what Bill would do to me because he flies it along the Jersey Shore down the coastline, and I would love to see that. Now, I wouldn't mind that because I'm not afraid of heights, and I would love to see that, but I just do not trust them. And the thing is with me with flying, I'm such a control freak, I want to make sure that the pilot didn't have a bad night the night before and going to take me with him. Stuff like that gets in my own head. And I'm driving down 95 with my own car, and not mine, usually a rental, but I'm very, very happy.
Yeah, I hear you. My dad, you know, I've always said the same thing. If the pilot's having a bad day, we're all having a bad day on that plane. You know, that's
exactly.
But my dad then rebuts because he always wants me to fly because he doesn't like me driving all that way. And I'm 40, he's 60, and he still worries about that kind of stuff. But he's like, you know, it's not you. It could be the guy in the other lane, you know, and I hear you. And statistics show that it's safer to fly than to drive. But I'm like you, Doug. I just like to kind of have the control. And, you know, I like sticking with the decision and just being fine with it. You know, I don't want to have to go back and forth with this for the next 30 years. Like, I'm fine with driving, and that's just me. We're all different.
The worst part about driving is everybody yelling at you that you should fly. Just leave me alone. You're not doing it.
Right.
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean,
is it,
yeah,
you know?
There's that, Doug. I mean, we've kind of compromised because my wife is in the same camp as you guys. She's definitely afraid to fly. So we've now started taking the Amtrak train. So that's kind of a compromise. And, it's good in that at least you don't have to stay alert to drive. I mean, you can be on the computer and, you know, do some other things. So it is more relaxing in that regard. But it takes a little bit longer than it does to drive because of all the stops it makes down the East Coast. But that might be a compromise for you. You know, if you don't want to drive or you want to, if you can sleep on the train, that might not be a bad option.
Well, see,
well, hopefully by the time I'm too old, I'll already be living there.
That's it. And you know what? You're so lucky on the East Coast because I've looked at a train, and we've taken a train here in St. Louis just out to the western part of Missouri, just there and back. Just Mallory wanted to know what a train was right, so we just did that one day over spring break. And Amtrak was great, but, you know, it wasn't a sleeper car or anything. We just kind of rode the train. But I would love to have a train go from St. Louis to Orlando, but the problem is from here you got to go from here to Chicago, Chicago to D.C., D.C. to Orlando. I think it's like a 57-hour trip. I mean, who's going
right.
to do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not practical. You know, I can get there in 15 hours driving. I would even take the train if it took 24 hours. You know, I'm willing to put that extra time in, but not 57 hours. You know,
right.
Around half the time.
Yeah, because you'd be fresh and ready to go. If you timed it to where you left at the right time, you could be showing up at the parks right when, you know, the day starts.
Yep. I wish I'd expand that, but, you know, it's good for our East Coast friends.
Right. And then you have the issue, too. I mean, flying versus train versus driving. I mean, you know, depending on what your occupation is, I mean, folks have only so much vacation time in a given year. And sometimes, you know, if you've used it on other trips or, you know, you've used it for other reasons, you may not have the luxury of the extra day or two you need to drive down and then drive back. So, you know, another advantage to flying, even though, you know, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. But I'm just saying, because I do both. I drive, or all three, I should say. I've driven and would drive again. I don't have a problem with it. I've done the train, and, of course, I've flown as well.
Now, I enjoy the car. I continue, because what I like about the car, and I know you do too, Mike, and Dennis, isn't it nice when you're down there to be able to resort hop and stuff like that with the car instead of being dependent on the buses and the boats?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, having your own car down there, absolutely. But they do have these places that will actually lease you a car or rent you a car, Doug.
I've already rented one. So if you're flying, I got to pay for the airfare. Then I got to rent a car. So it's even more. I might as well just drive the car I rented down there.
Yeah, I've actually rented a car here in St. Louis, actually in Florissant where I live, and there's a car rental agency, you know, it's right up the street, and, you know, I guess most of the people that rent them here at Enterprise, you know, rent them just to drive around St. Louis, and be like, you know, I get back because it has unlimited miles, you know, and I'll come back, and they're like, oh, this thing has 3,000 miles on it, you know, you had it for 4 days. I'm like,
we rent every time. I know you take your own car a lot, Mike, but even when we have new cars, I always rent because one time about 10 or 12 years ago, I just bought my Chevy pickup. It didn't even have 1,000 miles on it, and the transmission went in Maryland. And I had to turn around. It was slipping, so I turned around and came home and rented a car, and at least if that would have been a rental car, I'd have found a local enterprise and just swapped it out. So I started to rent, so I never have to worry about my own car again when I'm on vacation.
You know, I've rented, and we typically take the Trailblazer, but just because when we take the trailer, it pulls the trailer really well. And now that Paige is a driver, she's comfortable driving the Trailblazer, and it's big. It's an SUV here, but we have rented the car, and especially if I've gone down without the family, the Trailblazer gets 14 miles to the gallon. Where I've
exactly.
And if it was just me, or like I know there's been times where in the past Paige and I have gone by ourselves, I'll go up to Enterprise and rent like a little, you know, not a Prius, but you know, some little
Nissan Sentra or something like
yeah,
that.
like a Corolla that gets 40 miles to the gallon. I mean, right there, the difference in gas pays more than pays for the entire rental of the car. What you for in gas charges. So something to think about.
Yeah, we do that all the time. Like, and I like it because a couple times the car that we rented is a car that we bought because we got to drive it before we bought it.
Yep, it gives you a hankering.
Yeah, you get a you also get to see if you would like it or not.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, if you can, Mike, just quickly, you can tell that story about the when you only had high beams going down there. Was that a couple of years ago when your low beams went out on you and you still drove to Disney World overnight?
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's one of the things like, and I haven't had the high beams on that car since, by the way.
Really?
There were times last couple of trips I'm like, I could turn the high beams on. Why chance it? Everything's it was probably 2 or 3 years ago. We're heading down and we drive down through Nashville and through Chattanooga and northern Georgia and head down that way on 75. But we got less than 3 hours from home. So we were far enough from home that we didn't want to turn around. It had been about 2.5 hours to go back. Lights go out. I mean, all the headlights go out, like everything. We're in Kentucky and we stop at a gas station. You know, my wife's dad is a retired mechanic, so we're calling him, asking for, you know, advice. And he's telling us it's probably a fuse, it's probably this. So we stop at a gas station, buy some fuses. Luckily, they had some. We're swapping things out. He's like, take the one for the windshield wipers if it's not raining, put that in there. And eventually we got the high beams to go on, but we still couldn't get the low beams to go on. So it was one of those, you had a decision point at that point. You know, we're just about 3 hours from home. We're still 13 hours from Disney. It's about 10 o'clock at night. You know, what do you do? You know, I'm a Disney fan. We turn the high on and truck on, man. I was like, if we get a ticket, it's just part of the deal. You know, it's just building it right to the vacation. Yeah, so I was getting the one finger salute, you know, going down the highway a couple times. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was like, hey.
That's dedication. I love it.
That's it.
we did the same exact thing that year that the transmission went in my white pickup. We rented, the only thing they had left was a brand new Pontiac Sunfire, which is a small car. We got all the way to Florida. We got through Jacksonville, and the transmission went on that. It started slipping. Wow. So we pulled over. I go to check for a dipstick. There's no dipstick in it. My wife gets in the manual. It says dipstick optional. No, so I couldn't even check, so it was so funny. I am beaten the crap out of this car through Orlando. It's like you could hear the gears whining. I'm coasting up hills and letting it roll down hills. It literally coasted in the Riverside. And all I remember is checking into my room, the car smoking. This car don't even have 3,000 miles on it. It's brand new. We get to the resort and they end up bringing me over. The only thing they had was a brand new Chrysler convertible. So I got a brand new Chrysler Sebring convertible for the price I rented a Pontiac Sunfire for.
Nice.
Now, tell me today's podcast is brought to you by Enterprise or Hertz.
I wish it was brought to you by Enterprise, because I've rented, I can't even count how many times, from Enterprise.
There you go. Good St. Louis company.
Now, on the on your truck, was it the switch that shorted? It was probably the high and low beam switch shorted out. When it shorted out, it killed the fuse. So when you put the new fuse back on, it stayed on high beam.
You know, I don't really know. I'm a podcaster, not a mechanic. My father.
That's what happened. I guarantee it.
5 minutes, he popped the fuse box off, was fiddling with some stuff. I got him a Dr. Pepper, and everything was fixed.
Good for you.
But those are just great stories to show you. You know, when you're in that mindset and you're heading to Disney World, I mean, nothing will stop you. I mean, it's all systems go. And like you said, Doug, long as you can just push the car into the parking lot or whatever, you're there, you're happy, and you'll worry about getting home and all that stuff on the tail end of your vacation.
Well, we got up to speed on I-4, but do you know how you get closer to Disney World, where on I-4 the ramps go up higher and lower and higher and lower through that area?
Mm-hmm.
We would literally slow down like 20 mile an hour. We'd get to the top of the hill, and I'd floor it, and then we'd keep going. It got to the point where it was so comical. We pulled in, we were like the Griswolds pulling up the Riverside.
That's what we look every time we pull up with the trailer. I mean, we are the Beverly Hillbillies.
I've seen that trailer. It is pretty. It's pretty funny, but it's like, hey, Mike brings his whole studio with him. He does it right.
He's prepared. He's a Boy Scout.
I try to be.
Now, speaking of Riverside, Mike, how much do you like that resort?
It is my number one resort right now, and it's changed over the years. You know, I was a big Pop Century person a few years ago, but you know, when I in being a travel agent, I book a lot of travel for a lot of guests. I mean, I do this every single day, and you know, the biggest question I get is, you know, what do you think about this resort? You know, and because, you know, I get from my guests, you know, what kind of families they have and what their expectations are on their trip. And so, I'm thinking about this constantly, and I'm looking at, you know, my guests, and I want them to get a great experience, a great value, and what's going to fit best for them. But I'm also looking for the same for my family. And Riverside was one of the last moderate resorts that I had stayed at, had personal experience with. And, you know, we've stayed there two times since, and I just, it's hard to describe how beautiful this place is. You know, it should be it's on the theming of a deluxe resort. It's so lush, and it's kind of got everything I need. It's got a nice running trail to walk on, to run on. It's got a nice food court. It's got Bob as an entertainer there four nights a week, which you can't describe how great Bob is. He brings so much life to that resort each night. You have a great check-in area, nice store. Swimming pool's incredible, you know, and the Royal Rooms are a huge asset because we love those too. So, yeah, Riverside, I love it there.
For the money, and I booked the trip I priced out, I'm going to be booking for two people going to the Wilderness Lodge. Tomorrow I'm going to finish that off. And we started talking, and I told her even she would like to stay there. She liked it more, but her daughter wants to go back to the Wilderness Lodge, and it's her daughter's trip this time. But for the money, on property, I think all around, if you weigh everything out, I think it's the best value on property. And I think Disney also notices. Now, Mike, do you notice with all the promotions and everything, they hardly have any promotions for any of the rooms anymore?
We saw that with the last promotion where both French Quarter and Riverside were excluded over the summer for that promotion that was booking at that point. Now, the new Play, Stay, and Dine, which is out right now for late 2014, early 15, does have availability at Riverside. So that's kind of nice to see that they are trying to give people that option. Even French Quarter has it this time around. So I think that maybe Disney heard that, you know, people want to stay here, and that, you know, they were highly excluding a lot of resorts the last time around. And I don't think that's very cool, because everybody needs to get the chance to experience this. Because, you know, Doug, like, I had never stayed there, but I'd heard you raving about it before I'd even set foot there. And I, you know, I knew a lot about it, obviously. I've gone through all these courses with Disney and so forth. Mm-hmm. Had gone to see Bob, you know, but until you stay there for, you know, three or four nights, you really don't get the heartbeat of the resort. And once I did, I was sold. So I think Disney needs to give people their first taste of everywhere, because I think a lot of times that's going to be the place you go back to years and years, you know, and kind of make your family's memories there for maybe a decade or longer.
I think our last trip there, this was I went back. It was our 23rd stay at that resort.
Holy cow.
It's like, if you added all your pops up with that, it would probably be close, wouldn't it?
I don't know if I've been there that many times.
Oh, you have. I think you've been there talking the last couple of years that many times. Every time I turn around, you're down there.
Well, the races, but, you know, we go for a long time over the summer just because my wife and I are teachers. But, you know, if three times a year is a good year for us. You know, we usually try to go down in the fall and then, you know, the big summer trip and then possibly Christmas. But, like, this year we can't go at Christmas because we're going marathon weekend. So it's kind of one of those you had to make a choice. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. When you find something that works for your family and for your tastes, and like you said, Riverside is a good spot as far as a value. You know, it's got a good value. Good, and I'm not talking value moderate deluxe. I'm talking money, you know, is it worth it for your money? We stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge over Tower of Terror weekend, and we're blown away.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, it's so awesome over there. But dollar for dollar, I think, and also this has to do with how much you're going to be in the room, because we're not in the room a ton. We're there enough, but not a ton. Where Animal Kingdom Lodge, if I didn't have theme park tickets, okay, that's where I'd probably want to land, because there's lots to do there. Riverside has a lot to do, but we typically have theme park tickets. We're out and about. So, you know, I like to kind of bring back that resort budget a little bit, but still get a great experience. So that's why I think Riverside is kind of number one there.
And the other thing is good, too. It's great for kids, but it's also good for, like, me and my wife without the kids going to stay there. It's so nice because you have right at your fingertips, you have the whole downtown Disney, which is Disney Springs now. You have all the restaurants. You can have a little bit of nightlife, stuff like that, go roam the shops. I mean, I consider that part of the resort with having the Sascoola with the boat rides and everything. And the other thing is one of the hardest things to book as an agent, Mike, is, what is it, five people in a room.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Riverside is having that Murphy bed.
That's it. But it's getting easier because Caribbean Beach is going to have some rooms for five coming online here very, very soon. They've kind of followed the model over at Riverside. So we're going to be able to book Caribbean Beach for our guests with five. And with the family suites that are over at All-Star Music and Art of Animation, it's gotten better over the last 4 to 5 years, I'll tell you, because my sister-in-law has a family of five, and they're Disney fans. And for years, they went to Riverside because that was their least expensive option for five. And
yeah, and they could slide. It had the slide out bed that came out from underneath.
And I guess they just drew straws. I don't know how that works. You know,
you get the trundle bed, right?
I guarantee, if I had a family of five, I'd be on the trundle bed. The kid would be in bed with the wife. You know that deal.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, if for people that are, you know, budget conscious or, you know, they're a little tight, I mean, getting that second room could kill their vacation or make it so that, you know, they might have to stay at a value resort as opposed to a moderate because, you know, you're doubling up the hotel costs there.
You're absolutely right. Have both of you guys stayed at both the mansion side and the Alligator Bayou?
Yes, I've stayed at both. I prefer the mansions myself.
And Mike, what about you?
Just the mansions for me. Just the royal rooms because my daughter.
Oh,
it's like
excuse us.
No, it's because you know, like I said, Mallory's six, and the first time we stayed there, she was four, and so I'm scared. I mean, this is one of the. It's like when I went on my honeymoon with my wife, and the first we went on Freedom of the Seas, which is a gigantic Royal Caribbean ship, and she'd never been on a cruise, and I'd been on a few with Disney Cruise Line. I love cruising, but she had never been on one, so I made sure that it was our honeymoon. So we got a balcony, you know, and the whole nine yards. Well, you know, you shouldn't let somebody have something nice like that off the bat because then you can't step back.
So
I'm scared
exactly.
If we don't have a royal room now, Mallory will be like, oh, we're slumming it here, which you're not. But I mean, you know, it's
right.
Not that much more expensive. And the thing I like about the royal rooms, to be honest, she loves the decorations and the fireworks. I like the fireworks in the head.
The headboard?
That's cool. I got to admit that. I'm the one doing that more than anybody.
Yeah,
but I like they're in a good location. I buy it for the location because it's close to the you know main area of the resort. I like that.
Well, you know me.
I know you're the opposite of that.
quick question, Mike, and there's only one answer to this. So, what's your favorite building name or mansion over there in the mansion area
of
Riverside?
I don't even know how to say it, but I guess it's Partier Place.
Oh God! Yeah.
Come on, you had to say Oak Manor. Oak Manor. That's why Dennis's handle
is Oak
Manor.
I know, and I took a picture of it for you.
I still have that.
I sent it to you. I was like, yeah, Dennis is here. No, but I like those. I mean, it's probably just because we landed there the two times we stayed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right.
Like it's our building because we've been in that building twice, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah. I actually like the Alligator Bayou area better. I love both, and I don't really complain either one. I never request either. But I like the landscape, and it's a little more deep. It's shaded more over in that area. Have you noticed that? When you run over in the Alligator Bayou area, do you notice that the foliage and all is a lot thicker, more dense than what it is over in the mansions?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because you know we were down there for a long time in July, and I was running 6 miles every morning before you know we got going, and that's how I justified all the food I would eat for the next 22 hours. but the thing was, is I ran that loop around French Quarter and Riverside. When I would go through Alligator Bayou, right as the sun was coming up, you could see because it's like the air's thick at Riverside, and especially at that end of the resort because of all that vegetation. You could actually see the like you know almost like a fog right at that corner of the resort, and it was beautiful. It was like running through a jungle. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. I love waking up in the morning and doing that walk from there. It's like because it's peaceful. It's nice and cool in the morning. It's like you're walking through the woods in the morning on your way to get your, you know, on the way over to the food court, over to boat rides and all.
Yeah, and you see people just stumbling up. You know, some people just they get up early and they shouldn't be up early. They just zombies. You know, it's like oh, they've had too much Disney.
So you like the mansions a lot better, Dan?
Yeah, and again, it's just where we stayed first, and, you know, it's like anything else. Once you're comfortable or familiar with a particular area, you tend to go back there. But, yeah, we like the mansions, and, you know, if we can snag a pool view or something like that, all the better.
We got spoiled the very first time we ever stayed there. It was in 97, and like I told the story, we stayed at Caribbean Beach. It was where our trip for the week was booked. But we drove down. And I never drove to Disney World before, so we allowed ourselves plenty of time. Well, we got there a day early. Like, we're there, like, first thing in the morning on Saturday. We weren't supposed to check in until Sunday. So we said, to heck with it, we're going to go to Caribbean Beach and see if they have a room. Well, they were completely booked. They had nothing available, so they sent us over to Dixie Landing at the time. And the room they gave us was directly across. As soon as you went across the bridge and you went over the Old Man Island, you went across the second bridge. It was the second story, right on the Sascoola, looking over the water, looking at the old mill. Our view was the entire resort. It was the best room I ever had, and I think they did that to sell me on the place, so I would always come back. But the view was gorgeous.
Yes.
We were dead center.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, they do that stuff on purpose. I know they do.
I just remember one of the vivid things when we stayed there the first time with the kids when they were smaller. I remember just being amazed at that, what do they call it? I'm going to say water wheel. I know that's not the right term. But that wheel that actually functions, and then all of the gears and the everything that go inside the restaurant there. And to have that working and seeing it slowly spin as you were in the food court there, I mean, stuff like that, that's what impressed me so much about not only that resort but Disney in general. I'm like, man, where are we ever going to see something like this, you know? And it just blew me away.
Let me ask you this, Dennis, real quick, because you mentioned that, and I feel exactly the same way. That's the Disney difference. Because the thing is, it's moving slow, you know, and that's kind of the theme of the resort. Is like, it's like the old South. Let's slow down. Let's don't be so, you know, hustle bustle and all that. But, you know, that I need that stuff. Like, that's a reminder. But I bet you most guests don't give that a second thought, which is kind of sad. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've thought the same thing sitting there in the food court. Watch, I'll sit right next to it in the food court. But it's a shame, but I bet you most people don't even take the time to look up from their smartphones to see stuff like that.
Yeah,
and it's so true. It kind of gets me to the point where you'll see the father or one of the parents or whatever. You know they were drugged there, and instead of trying to make the best of their time, they're choosing to be miserable. And it's like, how can you be miserable here? Just sit down, look around, and just look at what they actually did to this. I mean, enjoy yourself. I mean, they take more energy trying to be miserable than they do to actually enjoy exactly. They're mad about what they've already spent, and they won't look around to actually see what they actually spent it on.
Yeah, I mean, some people, it's in their nature. But, you know, one of the sad things, if you will, I mean, and this has happened at a bunch of the resorts, but, you know, I'm kind of sad that they've gotten rid of the watercraft there now, because that's another great memory of Dixie Landings at the time, like you said, Doug. I mean, we rented one of those pontoon boats the first time we went there. And, again, I was, you know, I'm from Boston. I'm skeptical right out of the box. You know, we pay $30 or whatever it was for a half hour or 45 minutes, and they throw us the keys, a couple of life preservers, and they get, yep, this lever forward. I've never driven a pontoon boat. I'm like, to myself, I'm saying, these guys are crazy. They're going to trust me with this boat? But as it turns out, I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't in the parks, but it was something, and we still have pictures that, you know, just the four of us going down the Sascoola River and, you know, letting my daughter take the wheel and my son take the wheel. I mean, that's a treasured memory that we have, and, you know, it's all tied to Riverside, but, you know, it's just stuff like that that, you know, you might take for granted. I know they don't offer the boats anymore, but, you know, there's the horse and carriage ride. I mean, we've done that there too. And again, that's an awesome, you know, it's nothing thrilling or anything like that. But I mean, if you take the time and, you know, take the 20-minute trip around the, you know, Riverside and Port Orleans, I mean, it's just awesome. Have you, any of you guys done the horse and carriage?
I've been to the horse and carriage. We've petted the horses, we've stood around them, but we've never rode the horse and carriage. Have you, Mike?
No, I haven't done that either. I want to, but, you know, speaking on the boats, Dennis, you're exactly right. Yeah. We rented before the podcast cruise last time in 2013. We all got together, Ricky, Pam, and our families, and we rented one of the pontoons. And
oh, boy.
Same thing. I had never driven a pontoon boat, and it was the exact same thing. This goes forward, this goes back. Here's your life preservers. Have
yeah.
a get back before it storms. And, you know, but the thing is like, you know, it's like you said, it's not the theme parks. It's not what you go down to Walt Disney World for. But Mallory still talks about hanging on the boat with her daddy driving this boat. Because I was joking. I mean, I was half joking. I didn't know what I was doing. I was kind of keeping the, you know, off the banks. But she got to sit with Hannah, you know, Pam's daughter. And they got to hang
yep.
out. And, yep. you know, Pam got to hang with Pam Forrester. They had a good time sitting there talking with Ricky. And Brian was on there. And it was just
right.
It was like, you know, people say, oh, why would you want to spend another $45 or whatever it was? It was $45 among like 8 people. And it was a blast. We had a fun.
Worth every penny.
Absolutely. And it, you know what? We were sitting down. We weren't rushing. We got to catch up. We're out on the boat and going to places like the tree houses. Because you got to explore back there on the Sassagoula River. For a Disney nut, that's fun. We got to see stuff like that. I mean, that I wish, and I know it's probably liability or something why they're not there anymore, but I hate to see stuff like that go away.
I'll give you my story, then I'll tell you my synopsis of what I think is going to happen with them. You want to hear my fun story about the pontoon boat?
Yeah, let's see it.
The regular boats broke down the one night. There was one broken down, so they took us. They started taking people to Downtown Disney on the pontoon boats. Well, it was our first year down there, and the guy calls us over to get on the pontoon boat. And don't you know Rico Suave is driving my boat? And he's all cool. My wife's going, he is so cute. So I got the ride with Rico Suave with my wife saying how cute he was the whole way back and forth from Downtown Disney. That's my luck on the pontoon boat. But no, he was a really nice guy. It was a good time. She was only kidding around. But I honestly believe that the only reason the boats are gone, I think they'll be back, is with all the work going on at Downtown Disney, they can't take the chance on somebody going way down and driving into construction zone. So I think once all that construction's done and everything's completed down there, because they had to do away with Sammy Duvall at Downtown because they're redoing everything. So I think once all that's done, they'll sign a new contract, and I think they'll allow the boats back because I think they realize – because they still have them over at Caribbean Beach, all the mouse boats.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I hope that's true. And the thing is even if you don't use the boats, it adds to – this is, again, my opinion – it adds to the visuals and the kinetic energy of that area. And I think you need to see the boats going around Downtown Disney. It gives it more of a heartbeat.
It's awesome. I mean, last time we seen this – grandfather and his wife, the two of them, they were like 70 years old. Those two were in a little mouse boat going up and down the water together. They were having a blast. It was in the area where we were walking from Hollywood Studios back to the boardwalk. This was on our last trip. Husband and wife had the mouse boat going up and down there. They were having the time of their life. It was so cute to see this couple in their 70s still so in love driving up and down the river in one of them boats. It was just awesome. It was Disney to a tenth degree, if you follow.
That's great.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you, Doug, because I know they changed some of the routes, even from like Saratoga and Old Key West. Like they're dropping mm-hmm. people off pretty much just behind the House of Blues now, you know, because mm-hmm. of, you know, the marketplace is all under construction. So you're right. And they had a bunch of, you know, like different markers and stuff in the water. So you very well may be right that it's just they just don't want the traffic down there screwing things up. So hopefully you are right.
I 100% believe it's temporary because I think, like Mike said, that's all a part of Riverside. That's the beauty of it. That's the little subtle things that you do miss. You want to see the father and son going up and down with the little mouse boat. You want to see the family going by on the pontoon boat. That's what makes the whole feel around that resort. So I think they'll definitely be back. What happened was one father was out with his kid, probably was showing off, said, nah, we don't have to pay attention to that. And he ran into the wrong place, and they said, we can't have this no more. Because there's always that guy that ruins it for everybody.
No, that's exactly it. I'm sure that's what happened. You know, that's why Pam and I were talking. It had to be some, you know, some yahoo messed it up for everybody, because that's what happens with everything.
Yep.
You know,
we can't
my
have
brother,
nice things.
My brother Don nope. would be the guy that would do that.
Yep. Keep him off the boats.
Yeah, that's why Tomater's his favorite character. That's who it took, a Tomater. My brother has that Tomater on his pickup truck. He wears the Tomater T-shirts. His hero is Larry the Cable Guy, you know. So Larry the Cable Guy drove out into the middle of Downtown Disney and ruined it for everybody.
Keep them off the boats for all. Let me ask you guys this, though, because while we're talking about this real quick. So Saratoga Springs right now is not the most popular Walt Disney World resort. You know, it's got some issues with transportation times, getting to the parks. You know, it's just, it's not very close to the theme parks. Do you think, you know, when Disney Springs is done, because now we're getting, you know, we're finding out some really nice restaurant options are coming in, lots more entertainment. It's going to be, I think, in my opinion, again, it's going to be a more of a destination than it is now. Do you think this will affect the bookings of, especially at Saratoga Springs, but on the periphery, places like Riverside, French Quarter, Old Key West? I mean, do you think it's going to go up? Is that area going to boom?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, Congress Park, which is the part of Saratoga Springs that you can see from downtown Disney, which will soon be Disney Springs. Yeah, I think with the new bridges they're putting in to make access easier to downtown Disney, you know, it'll almost somewhat be like the boardwalk, where those restaurants that serve the boardwalk now will almost be you know, looked upon as Saratoga Springs amenities, if you will. I mean, it's a little bit further away, obviously, than the boardwalk, but I definitely think Saratoga Springs will see a bump, and I think bookings will tighten up a bit, and you make a good point. I mean, Old Key West and Riverside and Port Orleans, you know,
French
Quarter. Thank you, Doug. I think they're going to see it too, because when you can access that area with watercraft, I mean, that's a very desirable amenity to have. So, yes, I think it definitely will have an effect.
I wouldn't even be surprised in the future if you seen more rooms added on to French Quarter, because there's area there I think they could add on to that resort.
See, I hope they don't do that, because I think the beauty of French Quarter is its size. You know, I think you need to have a small resort, because we have so many big ones like Riverside and especially Saratoga. I hope they don't mess with it. But, I agree with both of you guys. I think that this is a chance. It's an opportunity for Disney to kind of, like they've done with FastPass Plus, they've done a really good job, like it or not. Sometimes it's not great, but dispersing the crowds within the parks with FastPass Plus, getting people to go where they need them to go. They're kind of going to be able to do this with the resorts now, with this area. They can kind of push more people down toward that end of the property near downtown or near Disney Springs, but you know, when it's that, but and that's good for everybody, I think, because it's going to maybe take some stress off these other places that make it really hard to get into.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
I think the other thing it's going to do too, Mike, is know all the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. I know Dennis don't like to talk about any other thing but Disney owned hotels. No, but I honestly believe that all them hotels are going to make a major – they're going to have a major boom in rooms, because they're the different people. Different people have vacation clubs with companies like Sheraton, which owns the Swan and Dolphin. But you got the B Hotel, the old Grosvenor, you know, Hilton, all them hotels there. I think it's going to make a major – I think a lot of them are going to upgrade and really become more popular myself for, like, foodies.
No, I agree. It's going to be definitely a happening part of property, which it always, you know, if you go down there and try to drive there, everybody knows it's busy down there. It has been, but
the construction's horrible right now.
That's
there.
Totally screwed everything up. But I think, you know, this is really going to become a destination more than it's ever been. You know, it's not going to be like Pleasure Island back in the day, because I think that was a different thing where it was marketed for a place for adults to go after the parks closed. I don't think it's going to be that. But I think it's going to be a place that people go to more from the, you know, you might go there at 10 o'clock in the morning, where I don't think about downtown Disney unless it's at night. But, you know.
Yeah, me and Brent always do it, because we've always stayed at Riverside, so we love it. But me and Dennis have talked before. I think that was one of the major mistakes that Disney made from the jump. Now, I love New Year's Eve every night, but I never understood, even as going down without kids in my late 20s, and we would enjoy 8-tracks, and me and my wife, the Neon Armadillo, those bars we'd go to at night. But we never understood why Disney would do that with being a family-oriented resort. It never seemed like it fit well to me.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, I really did enjoy, and I don't drink, you know, we would go down there, but I thought it was such a unique atmosphere, because we'd go to the comedy club, we'd go to 8-Tracks, we would go to the Adventurers Club. You know, we'd go to all those places in one night, and I thought it was, again, but when I was going there, I was in my late 20s, going with
like we
friends.
Were.
Yeah, and you know, I had a bunch of friends, I worked at Space Camp, we all went down together, and you know, when you're with a group, it's a lot more fun. I thought it was well done, but I could totally see the drawbacks of it. It's a family destination, but it doesn't. Disney's owned, you know, it's got stakeholders, and they want to get as much profit as possible, so they want to hit every demographic, which that's a demographic you want to keep away from Universal if you're a shareholder, stockholder. So I saw that, and it wasn't dirty, but I saw where it would be a challenge to keep this from being a place that locals want to turn into a party atmosphere, like a hardcore party atmosphere, because it's a very clean party atmosphere. But I'd imagine that was a huge challenge for Disney, you know, because I've worked in the mobile DJ industry before. And, you know, it's a fine line keeping stuff that's fun and hip from getting trashy and not family friendly at the same time.
Yeah, because it was kind of weird, because I can vividly remember, you know, when the kids were, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, whatever, we had them down there, and on the one hand, you're holding your kid's hand, and, you know, you're trying to keep them away because they're exhausted, because they were at the parks all day, and then you had waiters and waitresses coming around with Jell-O shots right next to you, and it just was an odd mix. It was just weird. And then, as we all know, you had the locals, you know, the teenagers and 20-somethings coming, and, you know, they had a party for the night or whatever, and I just don't think it was the right mix, if you will, with you know, resort guests and locals, and I don't know, it just didn't it seemed to be opposing each other, if that makes any sense.
And the thing that I think made it, like, because we, like I said, me and Brenda, and I'm not a drinker either, a case of beer will last in my house for 2 years. I don't drink. Unless somebody comes over, I might have a beer here and there. On Saturday nights, I'll have a beer with dinner. So I'm not I enjoy a beer, but I'm not a drinker. But the other thing I think made it worse, too, was because we used to hang at 8-Tracks and, like I said, Neon Armadillo, then I forget what the other country bar came down there. But I think what really ruined Pleasure Island was when they decided to build the West End. So now families had to walk by Pleasure Islands to get to the West Side, if that makes sense. So at least Pleasure Island was always by itself there for a while, and you could still do the shops and stuff. And if you wandered over, you would see it. But when they opened up the other side with Wolfgang Puck's and House of Blues and all that, it kind of made you walk around Pleasure Island with your family.
Yeah, it's a great.
And I think that's what made it worse.
Yeah, they need to keep it off to itself.
Yeah, because originally I think that it was gated separately, right? You needed a
wristband.
It was.
You had to go over
ticket.
That little bridge to get in there.
You had to buy a ticket. I mean, and it wasn't cheap either. I remember, you know, because we were down and we didn't have – that was back in the Ultimate Park Hopper days, but we didn't have those. And I had one, but some of my friends didn't. I will say it was like $20, and this was probably in the, you know, early 2000s.
Oh.
Yeah, because we always had the Ultimate Park Hopper, me and the wife, and you had to go – you would go by Fulton's. There was a little ticket booth there, and I remember they'd have – they'd have bouncers standing outside, and you would go over to the bridge. My wife always loved it because they wouldn't card me, and they would card her.
Wasn't it like the ticket booth where you bought your admission? Wasn't it like a train car or something?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So once they put the West End there, because the only thing used to be to remember was the House of Blues set over. I mean, Planet Hollywood set by itself over there.
Yeah.
And they added all that other stuff.
Good stuff. I like this.
So – one last thing, Mike, we wanted to ask you before we let you go. Your opinion. What do you think is going to happen with the studios?
Oh, man. Your guess is as good as mine. I just know that we're in a quandary because we have our running squad for our podcast group, and we go down and run these races, and we've been, you know, we did Wine and Dine for the first couple of years because it was then they transformed that weekend to the Tower of Terror weekend. We like that kind of first weekend of October, last weekend of September time frame. Then, you know, about a month ago, Run Disney announces, guess what? No more Tower of Terror race. So we're guessing that they're doing that because of all the construction going on at the studios. I think, and I think everybody thinks this, that this is going to be maybe everybody thinks this, but I think Star Wars is going to have a huge presence in the theme park moving forward in the next, say, 5 years. And I think this might be the first phase of that. I hope so, because I think that in a park like Disney Studios, and I don't want this to spread out like Frozen's taken over everything, but I think that in a well-defined park like Disney's Hollywood Studios, they can go not all in on Star Wars, but they can go way in to the point that they can catch up to where Universal has done with Harry Potter and even surpass it, because as popular as Harry Potter is, it's got a lot of people that love it. Star Wars has people that kids that are liking it that are 5 years old right now, all the way up to, you know, I'm 41 and that movie came out when I was 3, you know,
right,
the first movie. So there's a hardcore group out there that's comfortable with it. And this could be gigantic and it could be bigger than Harry Potter. And I want to see them do that. So I hope that it is in the Star Wars direction. I don't know. But, you know, I'm pulling for a big George Lucas announcement. Maybe not him, but, you know, something that where he's partnering up, because I know people dog him for some of the movies. He came up with this stuff, so I don't think he's all that bad. Some people make him out like he's like this
the villain
guy, like he's terrible. You know, he's not that bad. He brought us these movies, people. You know,
right.
I don't mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of bring him on the same way they brought in James Cameron for Avatar Land.
Yeah, that's the comparison I was trying to make. That's exactly it.
Oh, he'll be a consultant. I think they already said that he would consult with Disney as much as they wanted him to. So I think he'll have some input, hopefully.
I hope they take the whole left side as you're walking in. Once you go past, you know, the Hollywood Boulevard there and get up to where the hat used to be on the left. I would like to see them take the whole left side because I'm not Raiders of the Lost Ark is fine, but the Indiana Jones, in my opinion, I think the only reason they keep it because they use the stage for different events besides just Indiana Jones. At after hours and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did. That's it. I mean, these are for cheerleading competitions, all kinds of stuff. During the race weekends, it's packet pickup a lot of times. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, that can go. And you know what? There's a huge area over there. Let's go all in. Let's don't go 25% and just put our toes in the water. Let's do this.
And I know that I enjoy lights, motor, action, but I could let it go. I mean, for the greater good, I would let that go. But I do hope I hope they do allow some more of Pixar to come in myself. I want to see more of a Pixar. I would like to see the right back corner all Pixar, the left back corner all Star Wars.
I'm with you, man. Hey, let's do that. That's because Pixar is something that's underutilized. It's used, but it's scattered here and there and everywhere. Let's make a Pixar land. I like it.
Yeah, and I would, and the whole thing, if they do go all in on them too, I still hope they call it Hollywood Studios because, I mean, Disney Studios – because of both of them are movies. They're all movies. So I'm hoping they don't change the name of the park. Do you guys think they will?
Yeah, I mean, from everything I'm hearing, it's almost definite that the name's going to change.
I think so, too. I wish they would keep it the studios, but I think that it's kind of a misnomer if they do, unless they would bring some point. Like, I was listening. I can't remember what show I was listening to. I was listening to somebody this week, and they were talking about, Wedway. They were talking about the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, play it. And that was a great Hollywood Studios attraction. You know what I'm saying? Because
right. You
were in the audience. I mean, you were a part of the show, but you were actually seeing kind of what it would be like to be in a hot studio during a taping. And
I loved it when they called somebody on the phone right in the yard.
I know. I mean, how cool was that? It was so awesome. And that was a great thing because it was fun for the person who was in the hot seat, obviously. They were having a great time. But I loved it just as much getting to type in my answers from my seat and also the aspects of – you know, I'm in Missouri. I don't get to see how things happen in Hollywood or New York or wherever they record stuff. It was very educational and entertaining to me at the same time. They need more of that in the studios, I think.
Absolutely. More, because that's the one thing I hope we talked about the last time we were there. My wife loves to draw. She's a better artist than she thinks she is. She's incredible. She can draw anything. And it was so much fun to see her have that much joy just drawing Winnie the Pooh the last time at the Art of Animation. In Animation over there, the Animation Studio. Have you ever done the drawings, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I'm terrible. Now, Paige and my wife are great. I'm terrible. But that's another great point. I think the problem is you have the people with the clipboards and the iPads that are surveying guests on the way out, asking what their favorite things were. You know, for most people, and I'm saying probably 95% of the people, they're never going to give a response of, I really enjoyed the Animation Academy today. But that doesn't mean it's not a worthwhile endeavor to keep and maybe even to expand stuff like that. But it's just not, you know, I think Disney's really in, you know, education's the same way. It's so data driven right now that they're taking those numbers and they're crunching them and they're saying, okay, these are the things hitting in the top 15%. This is what we need. And that's never going to hit in the top 15%, but it's vital to the overall experience, I think.
It's a free souvenir, something you can remember. You remember things by. But the thing that's great, I swear, we did every ride. We did everything we wanted to do at the studios. And the most fun I had was looking at how happy my wife was. She didn't even know I was looking at her the whole time. Just seeing the smile on her face doing something that simple, forgetting about everyday life going on. Just how happy she was sitting there drawing and how serious she took it. And it made my trip watching her enjoy that, if you follow me. And you don't get to do that many things like that.
No, you never do. I mean, you don't. I mean, and like you said, you know, as a father and a daughter, getting to see your kids do that. And like you said, it's one of those things, if you're lucky enough to get to go back, you know, annually or, you know, pretty regularly, you can put those on the wall and have that, you know, just like with the picture of the kid in a certain place in the parks. Same thing, mm-hmm. You know, you can progress to where it was chicken scratch, you know, when they were 3 years old. But then, you know, you might have a little aspiring artist by the time they're 12.
Because I was telling my nephew to do that at home because I found it on YouTube where you can actually find the artist doing that.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
and they'll draw everything, because I've actually found it. So I actually called my godson up, because he has kids now, and I told him, I said, Donnie, get on YouTube and find this, and you can draw with the kids. And now it's something they do, and you can almost every character's on there, and they show you how to draw it, and you can watch it on YouTube. So if anybody wants to do that, hop on YouTube and type in animation, Disney animators, and you'll find that. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, it's snowing here this weekend, so guess what I'm doing with Mallory.
There you go. Try it, Mike. I bet you'll have fun. It'll give you something to do with her, and it shows you. Like, they had Mickey Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, Minnie. There was a bunch of them on there. And it has the animator, like, know how he sits? It's actually at the studio there. The animator's sitting there talking as he's drawing it, just like he does when you're doing it.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm on that.
Nice.
So we've already kept you long enough, Mike. We've almost done an hour here. We really, really appreciate you doing the show with us. We had a lot of fun tonight. And I'm even going to allow Dennis to buy the drinks tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to put some something in there. So you got two drinks, and I'm going to get you on a plane, and you're going to wake up in Disney World. How's that sound? Like
as
Mr.
long as
T.
You get me. There you go. I pity the fool that wakes me up when I get there.
Right, I got my chains on right now. No, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. You guys do a great job, and you've been friends for such a long time. And, you know, on behalf of the ladies and everybody that helps us with our show, we couldn't do a show without friends like you guys. So thank you for always being there for us. And, you know, I'm honored to be here on your show, because you guys are, you know, it's fun having brothers in the podcasting community. We're all in this together. And it's just so much fun. So I wish you guys continued great luck in the future. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you, Mike. Don't forget to promote. You have a live show this weekend, correct?
That's right. And actually, we're going to be talking a little Run Disney this Sunday, because Mike Bankhead, the captain of our running squad, which is now over 240 runners strong. Crazy. I can't believe. How'd that happen with somebody like me doing a podcast? Because I hated running about 3 years ago. But yeah, we're going to talk a little, you know, we'll talk all Disney, of course. But if you have any questions about the running squad or anything with races, he's the man. Mike Bankhead, he's run marathons, he's run half marathons, he's done, I think, the Goofy, so he's crazy. So, you know, I haven't done any of that stuff yet. So if you want to talk to him, and he has a great accent. It's not unlike Dennis's. They're a little bit different. Mike's from South Carolina. Dennis is from Boston. You know, man, you might have a hard time telling them apart, but it's a lot of fun.
I'd have to get him and Den on at the same time. Wouldn't that be fun?
Mike talks a little slower.
Well, yeah. We'll definitely be listening Sunday night, as always, Mike, and we will enjoy the live show.
I might even call in to fire you up. You know how I get.
That's right. What can we talk about this controversy? Let's keep the controversy down, because Pam and Ricky are going to be down in Walt Disney World, the dogs. You know, they're going to be having fun, so they just left me back. So what can I do?
Well, we'll call in and help you out, Mike. If you need anything, reach out to us. We'll give you a hand, buddy.
Absolutely.
We love your show. We love everything about it. You know, guys, you know, if there's a single Disney fan out there that hasn't heard of the Be Our Guest podcast, hop on and, you know, listen to Mike and them. They do a wonderful show. Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Debbie, you get her off and on.
It depends on her schedule. She's had some health issues and health issues within her family, so we've been cutting her some time loose, but she's a great asset. She's just as much a part of the team, and we're lucky to have her.
It's always fun when Debbie pops on. You never know when she's going to be there. Next thing you know, you'll be announcing her, and you get that laugh of her.
That's it. Yeah, you know she's there immediately. You know, got to be like, okay, here she comes. Turn your headphones down, because I try to get that from my end.
All right, guys, it's been great. Thanks a lot, Mike. It's been wonderful talking Disney here with you. Thanks again, Dan. You did a wonderful job again, my good buddy, because you bought.
All right.
And we'll talk to you guys real soon. Talk to you later. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.